The Gospel of John. John focused on the story of Jesus, more intimate part of the story of Jesus. And he was one of the 12 disciples. John also wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Sometimes we call it Little John. And he also wrote the book of Revelation. And we were blessed last year to study the book of Revelation, and I pray that you were blessed by it, because John was the scribe. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. John was also nicknamed Son of Thunder. Now, we don't really know where he got that name or why he got that name, but tradition has it that he was a wild child. Now, I don't know about any of you, but I can relate to being a wild child. The events happened all through the Holy Land, which is modern-day Israel and most of Jordan. John wrote this gospel probably sometime between 85 and 90 A.D., and there was widespread persecution of Christians at the time throughout the Roman Empire. And John was writing to encourage believers. He was also exiled to the Isle of Patmos for him encouraging Christians and trying to do what was right. And that's why the Roman Empire put him on the Isle of Patmos. He survived being dipped in oil. But he had a whole message of encouraging believers. On the 8 miracles found in the book of John, 6 of them are unique to John, where they are not in the other 3 Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are considered what we call the synoptic Gospels because they were very similar. John stands out on his own. In fact, 90% of John's Gospel is not found in the other Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So what is he like? I don't know about you, but sometimes I have trouble trying to describe somebody to a stranger. Somebody that I know that I want to describe to a stranger who I'd like to have them meet someday. So what kind of word portrait can you do sometimes to draw this image of somebody that this other person don't know? John was describing Jesus, and it was an awesome task. So how do you describe the Son of God to people who have never seen him? John's approach was not to focus so much on what Jesus did here on this earth, but to tell us the kind of person that he was and that he is. John's gospel is not really a biography of Christ as much as it is a portrait of Christ, like a beautiful crafted painting. It wasn't so much of listing all the actions and the events in Jesus' life, but he did a pretty good job of doing that. But he was trying to describe with a verbal brush that would take our breath away that this Jesus lived from the very beginning, and he was always with God, yet he was God and is God, and he is the creator of the universe. The very word of God itself in the flesh is just mind-boggling. How can that be? How can God be here in the flesh? We know how God did it because he had the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit was always with us from the Genesis to the Revelation. But God used the Holy Spirit to allow himself to come to this earth, because he wanted to come to the earth like one of his creation, born of woman. But when sin entered into the world, that wouldn't be possible. So the Holy Spirit and the young Virgin Mary was impregnated, and Jesus was born into this world just like you and I were born into this world, for the primary purpose of understanding his creation and having a personal relationship with him. Matthew, Luke, and the gospel accounts trace Jesus' lineages from the early Bible heroes through the who's who in the Word of God in the Scriptures. But then John leaps back over all of that and reveals the amazing truth that even before the beginning of time, Jesus was with God and was God. He's always been and he always will be. John's purpose was not to write another biography of Jesus' life on this earth, but to reveal Jesus as the Son of God and even as God himself. So Jesus skipped through the birth, the boyhood, the temptations, the transfiguration, calling to the disciples, and even with the parables. Even the Great Commission you won't find in the Gospel of John. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world, the good shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is also the true vine, the resurrection, and the life, and the great I am. Remember when God revealed himself to Moses and to Abraham and all that, and they said, who should we say sent me? And the voice said, I am that I am that I am. All through the Gospel of John, the great I am is seven times witnessing to the Son of God. John the Baptist, Nathaniel, Peter, Martha, John, Thomas, they all knew Jesus. And after we've been thoroughly viewed this magnificent portrait of who God is revealed to us in Christ, we see the pictures of Jesus in the churches and so forth. We really don't know exactly what Jesus looked like. And Isaiah talked about that he is strictly commonly, which just he would look just like every one of us. Maybe olive skin because of the area when he came into the world was. But we have a portrait of Christ and who he was and is and always will be. As the people that come to know this are compelled in a whisper, in awe, that this truly is the Son of God. And once we acknowledge that we are brought into this world, inescapable conclusion that we must believe in him, trust in him, accept him as our own personal Savior. And that was the purpose of John writing the Gospel of John. Now I want to flip briefly over to the third chapter of John. There's more red letters, if you have a red letter edition. The red letter editions are just attributed to what Jesus was saying and what he had said. There's more red letter in the Gospel of John than there probably is anywhere else. After dark one evening, a Jewish religious leader named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to speak with Jesus. Teacher, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are proof enough that God is with you. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. Now, some translations say born from above. And that's important because that's where the rebirth comes from, is through the spiritual rebirth, which comes from above. So Nicodemus said, what do you mean? How can an old man like me go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, the truth is, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the spirits. Humans can reproduce only humans, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. Boy, did we hear the wind the other night. Woo-woo, doggy. Just as you can hear the wind and can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going to be going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. What do you mean? Nicodemus asked again, and Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, I'm telling you, what we have known and seen, and yet you won't believe us. But if you don't even believe me when I tell you about things that happen here on earth, how can you possibly believe if I tell you what is going on in heaven? For only I, the Son of Man, have come to earth and will return to heaven again. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so I, the Son of Man, must be lifted up on a pole. We know it as the cross. So that everyone who believes in me will surely have eternal life. A scripture that we all hang on to, the first scripture I ever memorized, the first scripture that really meant something to me, which I'm sure that it meant a lot to everyone here in this room. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. I know that's the blessed hope that we all have, the gift of eternal life. And it is a gift. And all we got to do is receive that gift and hang on to it. But how do we know we really and truly have eternal life? I was sharing with Linda right before the church, and we were talking about a lot of the things in Dorothy Carr, and when Diane was telling me that she's starting to revert to her childhood. And that's common with elderly people. And you remember what Jesus said? Come unto me, all the little children. And I think when we get old like that and we start reverting back to our childhood, it's in preparation for coming into the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say? He wanted us to come in childlike faith. But then there's something else that gives us the assurance of eternal life. You remember when you were young and you were fresh and alive and you did all kinds of things? You played football, you did cheerleading in school, and you were just full of it. Well, now that we get a little bit older, we can't seem to do those things. But the real you who lives deep down inside, it's just as young and fresh as we always were. From the book of Ralph, but I think it's God's way of letting us know truly we do have eternal life. In the beginning of John's gospel, it says, In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he is God. Now, some people take that and translate it around to fit their own theology. There was a God, meaning he was one of many gods. No, he was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything that there is, and nothing exist that he didn't make. Life itself was in him, and this life gives light to everyone. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. John had the clear purpose in the statements that he said about Christ, that he was the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Christ the Messiah. He was the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And then Jesus had a public ministry to the people that he was around, and that's what John captured. Then he also had a private ministry with his disciples. And John goes into the crucifixion and the resurrection, but he draws upon these teaching events and the interactions to demonstrate that Jesus is God in the flesh. And he's perfectly suited to sacrifice and offer his own life because he came into the world sinless. And the only way that could be accomplished was through a virgin and to be pregnated with the Holy Spirit, which made him sinless because God could not be in the presence of sin. So he'd had to come into this world, since God can't be in the presence of sin. He had to come into this world sinless. We know about the sacrificial lamb I love that little lamb that we have down here. The kids like it too, and we hold it because Jesus became the sacrificial lamb. In the Passover meal, they had the sacrificial lamb, which was to take away the sins of the world. So Jesus became the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But John's gospel places the spotlight on Jesus, the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He was the sacrificial lamb and is the bread of life, the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to him except, come to the Father except through him. So he gives us that gateway. When I had my little radio ministry, a little five-minute devotion on Christian radio for quite a few years, the name of my program was The Word is the Way to Life. And a lot of people ask me, why did you come up with that? Well, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he is the way to life. So God, John's gospel has many intriguing personalities that surrounded the Lord, included, well, we know about John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit, the disciples, Judas Iscariot. And John was also considered the disciple that Jesus loved. You'll see images of the picture that was drawn by Leonardo da Vinci, I believe, in the Last Supper, where John had his head laying up on the breast of Jesus. But he also talked about the feeding of the 5,000, the hungry men and women. He also talked about the the Jews that kept agitating him. I can't say that word. He also remembered about the adulterous woman, the blind man from birth, and his parents, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and chief priests and high priests, and the detachments of soldiers, and a group of women, Joseph of Arimathea. If you remember, the first evangelist was the woman at the well. When Jesus talked to her and shared with her, and she came to realize, wow, this man knows everything about me. He said, go and tell. First evangelist was a woman. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, it says this about belief. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That famous scripture, John 3:16. Gives us assurance of eternal life. In John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, it says, for I did not speak on my own, Jesus is talking, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just exactly what the Father told me to say. So why does it matter? Why does it matter that we have these gospels? And why do we matter that we have people that had personal interaction with Christ sharing these things? Because he is not here in the physical sense, we know that, but he is here in the spiritual sense. That peace that passes all understanding comes from Christ himself. So the predominant theme of John's gospel is the response of faith to the personhood of Christ. The primary point of the application is obvious. Do we believe in Jesus, the Son of God? Am I born again as a result of this experience of eternal life that Jesus talked about? I can assure you that when I finally made that decision after many years of in and out, in and out, in and out, I had a good Christian upbringing. I knew where to go. And when Proverbs 22:6 hit me in the face, to train up a child in the way they go, and when they get old, they won't depart. I knew where to go when my life hit bottom. July the 21st, 6 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of my swimming pool, I finally surrendered. And my life has never been the same. In Jesus' name, I know that I know that I know it's real. Because when we come to believe in Christ, it should affect the way that we live. I still make mistakes. I have to repent probably 25 times a day, maybe more. Because when I realize I'm going in the wrong direction, I know where to call upon to get me back, get me straight. What characterizes our relationship with Christ is fellow Christians. Because you've all have a relationship with Christ. You might not express it in the public, but you have that Holy Spirit. Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us, walking with us all the time. Phil was talking about salty service. I don't think any of us have did a foot washing service in a long time. Any of you ever participate in a foot washing service? It's a powerful, powerful service. Jesus did that. So if we're going to be followers of Christ, then we need to do some of the things that he did too. But we don't walk around with sandals anymore, so our feet aren't as dirty as what they are. So when we come in, we don't, you know, have somebody there wash our feet. Don't get the carpet dirty. But it is one of those humbling things. Do people know that you're a follower of Christ? Jesus, do you love each other? And Jesus also emphasizes the crucial role of the Holy Spirit. That's why it matters. Are we open to his work of conviction and instruction? We have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith. That's why it matters. And because the blessed hope is what John talked about in the book of Revelation and all through, that without that hope that we have in Christ, that we do have eternal life. Paul, I paraphrase what Paul says in Romans 7 and also in, I think, in 2 Corinthians, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. Can you imagine the mundane things that we do in life if that's all we ever had to look forward to? But praise be to God, because of the gift of eternal life, we have something much better to look forward to. No more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. To live in heaven. To return with Christ when he returns to set up his kingdom here on earth later on after the challenges of this world. Because he's going to bring this old world back to the way he created it. And we can be a part of that.